Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Dating from their earliest reviews, which were often harsh and misinformed, the members of the legendary rock group Led Zeppelin have always had a complicated relationship with the press. Their overnight success led to much carping from establishment rock writers, and by the time the critics caught up, Led Zeppelin was already the biggest and most extravagant group in the world. But with its mystique came restricted access to writers, and the band has held a grudge to the present day. As was evident during a recent awkward press conference promoting the band's new concert movie of its 2007 one-night reunion, the band has always been a bit reserved. One person who has managed to lift the veil is longtime Guitar World editor-in-chief Brad Tolinsky, who has held a series of wide-ranging interviews over the years with Zeppelin's creative force, legendary guitarist Jimmy Page. Often mysterious and remote, Page has been just as difficult to pin down in the three decades since Led Zeppelin called it quits. Not so for Tolinsky, whose interviews with Page cover everything from his choice of guitar and amp at every stage of his career to the complicated relationships that held the group together during its rise. Tolinsky's new book is Light and Shade, Conversations with Jimmy Page, and it's published by Crown. Brad Tolinsky, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you, Ian.
What's it like being in a room with Jimmy Page over the course of several hours of interviewing?
Usually the first hour is getting him warmed up, and then the second hour is we get into a groove, and the third hour he starts sort of looking at the clock and trying to figure out how to get the heck out of the room. But, you know, I have to say that in some ways I don't blame him, because every time I've had a chance to talk to him, my interviews with him have been rather forensic in nature.
Do you think it helps that you come from the point of view of a guitar fan's audience, in that it's a very technical interview often, and there's a lot of factual information to try to glean rather than sort of the sensational stuff he's used to answering?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Jimmy's very, very proud of his work, as he should be. I mean, Led Zeppelin is the second largest selling rock band behind the Beatles. And they've never been really accorded that kind of respect, or their music hasn't. You know, as a child of the 70s, I grew up with Page's work in the Yardbirds and Led Zeppelin, you know, deeply embedded in my DNA. And I always admired his innovations as a guitarist, as a composer, as an arranger. And as a producer, I believed he ranked up there with true innovators like Phil Spector and George Martin. And as a journalist, I always wondered why nobody ever asked him about that stuff, and I discovered that Jimmy wondered the same thing.
What were some of those innovations that you're talking about?
You know, without getting too nerdy about it, one of Jimmy's biggest contributions, I think, to music, which we still feel today, is how he recorded John Bonham's drums. I mean, John Bonham was one of rock's greatest drummers and a fantastic musician. But the way Jimmy recorded him really captured it on tape. And then, maybe more importantly, the way he mixed the drums, where he placed them in the music, was right up front with the vocals, with the guitar. He made the drums of equal importance of any instrument. And that, in the 60s and the 70s, was quite an innovation. And even in today's pop music, that's where the drums are. And I think it really started with where Jimmy placed John Bonham.
So talk to me about his skill as a guitar player. Is it that he is uniquely talented playing the guitar, or is it that he has a different appreciation and understanding of the sounds he can get out of a guitar in a recording and in a live setting?
Well, I think it starts, you have to go back to where Jimmy began, which was a session musician in the early 60s in England. It was once estimated that Jimmy was on maybe 60% of the recordings that came out of England in the early 60s. And he played in many different kinds of circumstances. I mean, he played on Burt Bacharach records. He played on jazz and folk records. He played on pop and rock records like Can't Explain and You Really Got Me by the Kinks. He sort of backed up the rhythm guitars on those tracks. So by the time he got to Led Zeppelin, he had this enormous vocabulary. But as Jimmy will tell you, as much as he enjoyed the blues or enjoyed jazz or folk music, he was always a rocker at heart. And I think that that's what makes the music of Led Zeppelin really fascinating, is that it hits hard. It's rock first and foremost, but it has all these other colors and shadings and different chords that you wouldn't normally expect to hear in hard rock music. And that's what makes us come back to it again and again and again. It's his skill as an arranger, I think.
Reading the interviews you've conducted with Jimmy Page over the years, it's clear that he had a really focused vision on what he wanted to do with Led Zeppelin coming out of the Yardbirds as a producer, as a songwriter. Where did the confidence come from in him to say, this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to do it, and no one else is going to sort of take us off that track?
Well, that comes from two places. And again, one can't discount his years as a session musician, too much, because he would have as many as 2-3 different sessions during the course of the day where he would have to make up something and create something that was going to be, you know, great and help make a hit record right on the spot. I think after you do that for 2-3 years, you become confident in your ability to do such a thing. And then his what he calls his apprenticeship in the Yardbirds also had a major impact, because it gave him confidence on stage and as a performer. So when he started Led Zeppelin, he'd already been, 5, 6, 7 years into his career, even though he was still very young, and with so much more experience than most people have when they start out in a rock band.
The name of the book is Light and Shade, and it's a topic that comes up in one or two key moments in your interviews with Jimmy Page. What does that concept mean to him? I mean, what does he mean by light and shade?
What he means by light and shade is really contrast. He thinks that things that bring people into the music are, different shadings of harmonies, of dynamics, of sounds. He's always looking for things, for musical ideas that contrast. If he's going to be extremely loud on one song, he wants to bring it back and do something, more acoustic. If one record is going to be this way, the next record's going to be that way. He feels that that's how you bring people into music, is all these different ideas. And he draws from not only just musical ideas too. I mean, he's a very well-read guy. So he thinks in terms of architecture, art history, literature. He brings all of these things to the table. And for him, that's what light and shade is.
So for him and for several other artists, the act of going to art school in 60s Britain was a big influence on the rock music that later came out of that era and that place. Why did that happen?
In the early 60s, you had a time of a great cultural awakening and an explosion of ideas. And a lot of these kids, like Pete Townsend of The Who, or Chris Drea from the Yardbirds, or Jimmy Page, went to art school where these ideas were encouraged. I mean, the idea of experimenting or breaking down cultural barriers was not frowned upon. It was thought of as a good thing. And so a lot of these guys took and applied these sort of advanced artistic ideas to the very basic form of rock and roll, and ended up creating these really wonderful imaginative sort of psychedelic sounds that still stick with us today.
You spend a couple hundred pages of the book dealing with a very short amount of time of productivity and creativity in Jimmy Page's life. The early 70s with Led Zeppelin, they were churning out legendary music while they were on the road. In the years since, he's really not been as prodigious with his musical output. And I wonder what you think of that. I mean, is he at peace with what he's done in music, or is there some sort of, grand solo album that he's still working on that we're all awaiting?
The answer to that is a little complicated, because Jimmy does tend to keep his cards sort of close to his chest. But over the last few years I've been talking with him, he is working on a sort of a grand idea And I'm hoping, because I would love to hear some new Jimmy Page music myself, that we will be hearing that some of that in the upcoming, I think next year we'll hear some new Jimmy Page music.
Hmm. So, all right, now the eternal Led Zeppelin question. You know, they've got the movie out this year of a performance that's already 5 years old, and they've said if we were going to do the reunion thing, it would have happened already. Is the Led Zeppelin story really closed now?
I would never say never, but I sort of think it is. But it's mostly Plant. You know, Jimmy would love to go there again because he feels that the chemistry that him, Plant, and John Paul Jones is really special. But Robert, I think he doesn't mind revisiting the past. He doesn't mind, doesn't dislike Led Zeppelin, but I don't think he just wants to live there for probably the 2 years that it would take to record and do a tour. And he's also talked about the burden of people's incredible expectations when it comes to Led Zeppelin and his sort of reluctance to have to deal with that day in and day out for an extended period of time.
Well, we've been speaking with Brad Tolinsky. He's editor-in-chief of Guitar World and the author of a new book called Light and Shade, Conversations with Jimmy Page. I learned a lot from this, Brad, and also from our talk, so thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Ian. Appreciate it.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.